Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello and welcome to episode 87 of the Function Get Option Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my buddy, my co-patriot, my friend, Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. Hi, Dustin. I mean, Adam.
Whoa.
How are you today?
Yeah, awkward. And just, you had like episode 249 in the notes there. What was that? Trying to confuse me?
I was trying to pull a Ron Burgundy in the notes.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what?
you caught it.
I did. I'm like, nope, ain't gonna get me, my friend.
Not today. Not today. We'll keep you on your toes.
I'm back in the driver's seat. I am running this thing.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
So okay.
We may have something. We'll see.
You want to schedule a time to chat about it?
Yeah, maybe like in 44 minutes. I don't know. What's new? What's going on? What's happening in Jackson, Michigan?
Oh, shoot. The usual. I had a scary dream last night that woke me up. It was kind of disturbing. My whole family was in peril. I don't remember many details. Also, we're moving forward with planning for WordCamp Ann Arbor and WordCamp Jackson. That's all going very well.
Wow. So are you a part of those teams in some capacity?
As a matter of fact, I am. For WordCamp Ann Arbor, I am at this time, a co-organizer, primarily responsible for the speakers.
Oh, yeah.
And for WordCamp Jackson, I'm the lead organizer. I'm trying to get that thing going.
And if I'm not mistaken, Jackson is August 26th or 7th?
No.
Oh, okay.
Jackson is October 3rd and 4th.
Okay, how about Ann Arbor?
Ann Arbor is, I believe, the 24th and 25th, or 25th and 26th, maybe.
Of August. And that's the
problem.
That's right. One of them I knew, I have a conflict in theory because it's Ellen's birthday is the 26th, and, you know, and I want to do something special for her, you know, 65th. So, if she hears this show, I'm busted.
You are so busted. Now all of your listeners have something against you.
Yeah, right? No, but that's her birthday week.
That's great. So WordCamp Ann Arbor could be that special thing.
I see what you mean. Bring her as a special thing.
Yeah, what would be more fun for Ellen to do on her birthday?
In August. August in Michigan.
It's beautiful. It doesn't get much better.
I liked it when a couple years ago it was like fall. When was it? Like it was literally when was like
it's always been in October.
October, yeah. And it was beautiful. I loved it then. I really did. I mean, I have very fond memories of that camp when it was in the fall. And I don't know. I just something because I still live on the West Coast. I like the whole winter thing. You know, they're gonna. You know.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. So two word camps coming up for you, which is awesome.
Yeah, it is great. We're accepting speaker applications for WordCamp Ann Arbor now.
Okay.
Expect every one of you listeners to throw an app our way.
Including me?
And including you. Even you.
Wow.
No promises.
Sweet.
But I want to see your application come in.
Okay.
Go to annarbor.wordcamp.org. Mm-hmm. And WordCamp Jackson is in the final stages of getting our budget approved and our website up.
Do you have a mentor for that, for either camp? Are there mentors assigned?
Nope.
Interesting. Okay.
I am a mentor for another WordCamp.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just picked up.
I never get a mentor.
I just picked up a fourth. The one I just picked up recently is for 2020. It's crazy. They're planning that far ahead, which is awesome.
Oh, good for them. Good for them.
Yeah, so just so you know, it's WordCamp Houston. So I'm excited.
I've never heard of WordCamp Houston. Have they had one
it's
before?
It's been
5 years since WordCamp Houston.
See what I did with that?
Yeah.
It's been 1 week since. Okay. They have had it. It's been off for many years.
Yeah.
So I am. I'm the mentor there, and
that's cool because that's Matt Mullenweg's hometown.
It is. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. So it should be good. I mean, I have three camps this year. I'm mentoring. I did three camps last year. The downside in all this is, of course, the three camps I was a mentor for last year were canceled.
So. Maybe. That's bad. That's a terrible track record.
It really is. It really is. So we'll see what happens.
The curse of the Adam Silver mentorship.
Mentorship. No, it's not me. I was totally available. It's the lead organizers and venue and budget. Well, it's usually a combination of organization, team, life happens, everyone's a volunteer, as well as the venue, that kind of thing. You know that. So.
Yeah, I think I mentored two camps last year, and both of them were big successes.
Fantastic for you. Moving on.
Any organizer gets assigned to you should be scared.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, we're doomed.
Fast. It's like, anyway. Hey, so I'm back from WordCamp Phoenix.
Good. I heard it was fun.
It was good. It was a while for me to get there. You know, it took like four flights to get there, but it worked out. And loads of, it was great to see people. Hung out with some people, met some new ones. I have tons of new work coming in, like new clients as well as new work from current clients, which is good and bad. And I'm just busy. I'm trying to really manage the expectations of all that. You know, manage the team I'm putting together. Just hired someone new. And and I'm also selling stuff. I'm just like purging extra furniture. So I sold a chair and a desk this last week. So I'm making it rain.
Yeah. Do you have an air hockey table?
I don't. Do you need one? Okay. That's what you're looking for?
Oh, I like air hockey.
Your birthday's coming up. Maybe I'll get you one.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not really coming up.
It's ahead of us in the calendar.
Yes, it's in the future.
In the future, in the calendar. So.
Anyway. Yeah. Keep it in mind.
Yeah. So other than that, I mean. And lastly, I'm just gonna mention my daughter and wife are actually at the time of this recording, they are touring a college for Miss Avalon. So.
Oh.
Yeah. They're up in Boston right now. So cool. UMass Boston, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to share about what's going on?
No.
How's your kid?
How's what?
How's your kid?
Oh, she's beautiful. Yeah. She's amazing. Yeah. She's still sleeping right now.
Oh, well, actually, one last thing we should talk about. We will be, if you're listening to this when it comes out, so next weekend, so this comes out on whatever the date it is, 25th. Look at the calendar. I don't know.
Right. Okay. Next weekend, we'll be going to a family reunion.
Right. We're going to WordCamp Dayton.
What?
WordCamp.
That's next weekend?
Dayton. And we're doing this show live from Dayton.
You're just dropping this on me now?
Yeah. Stop. You might want to prep. Do a song or something. Okay. So if you're going to be in Dayton, check us out. If you're not going to Dayton, you should go to WordCamp Dayton so you can hear us and see us and meet us live.
Yeah. We have some special stuff in mind. We're going to do things a little bit different and make it interesting.
Right. Everybody gets a question. You get a question. You get a question. Wait, no, it's open.
It's going to be fun. It's gonna trust be
awesome.
Me.
So, all right.
I guarantee it.
All right. Cool.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
Only one thing to talk about. And it's the big elephant in the room. No, it's not. I'm just kidding. It's WordPress 5.1 was released. Have you?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And that's all I got.
I know.
I mean, some of my sites have told me to update, and I have not yet. It came out literally like 2 days ago, the 21st of February, so which was Carson's birthday, by the way. Am I keeping you awake? Wow. You love WordPress news. I can see that right now.
Yeah.
Well, then fine. On that note.
Really interesting.
You can take this one.
Jeffrey Zeldman. Can you believe this? Jeff Zeldman is now the creative director of a special projects team at Automattic.
Do you know who that is?
That.
Do you know him?
Well, not personally. Jeffrey Zeldman is a major internet celebrity. He is one of the pillars of like web design, I guess.
Where was he before?
He has been doing website stuff since the 90s.
Is that why his icon on Twitter is like so pixelated? I mean, I get it. It's yeah, supposed to be funny.
I'm surprised you don't know who he is because he is.
Actually, I do know who he is.
He's like very, very well known.
Right.
Maybe the most well known. This is probably the most well known person we've ever talked about on our changes segment in the history of this show.
You think so? More than John Maeda?
Yes, okay. Probably. All right. Probably. Yeah. He founded like the Book Apart series.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Like and the Event Apart,
the big web show. I do know who he is, yes. Now that I'm looking at his actual his bio, I am familiar who he is.
Yeah, it's quite extensive. He's really looked up to in the like web design community and has been like for decades.
Yeah.
So this is like a big deal that he's now working at Automattic, who you know keeps snatching up these famous people, famous internet people.
I'm next, right?
Of course. Who else is left?
Right.
Right. I guess Eric Meyer. It doesn't work there yet.
Yeah.
And he's leading a special projects team. Like, we don't have a description about what he's doing, but it's going to be something interesting. That's the other part of this. It's like, it's not a, the role and the responsibilities are not publicly shared. Right. So we don't know what he's going to be working on.
Right. And I think it's, and I think he's taking the Steve Jobs approach on, he's like taking like $1 a year. No, I'm kidding. I made that up.
Yeah.
Just making that up, people. Cool. Well, congratulations to him and to Automattic, and I'm sure that's going to be a pretty cool things to come. So, I mean, knowing what we know about him, I'm sure it's going to be pretty cool things to come. So, All right.
What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now?
All right, so I'll go first here. So, I'm actually I'm tripled out because I have not worked out yet today. So, I'm not wearing the traditional just one beanie from whatever. I'm wearing a Woo shirt, the Woo Ninja, old school purple shirt. WordCamp Ann Arbor A2. Just kidding. WordCamp Chicago. My bad. That's wrong. WordCamp Chicago hoodie. And I'm wearing a WordCamp USA beanie from 2015, I believe.
Cool.
Because it was cool in the house this morning. So, and drinking some coffee. Oh, and I'm reading a new book. I'm reading Dealing with Problem Clients by my friend Nathan Ingram. I've known him for a couple years now. He does some work with, he's a trainer and a coach, and he does some work with iThemes and Liquid Web. Well, mostly the iThemes team. So reading with his book, Dealing with Problem Clients. Pretty interesting stuff so far.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm wearing a WordCamp Northeast Ohio baseball t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking a mocha from my Keurig.
Ooh.
And I'm reading Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, book 5.
Which I'm happy to report. That's awesome that you've finished book 4, because I want to do a shout out to another Adam. This Adam is the son of Scott DeLuzio. I think it's how you say his last name. You know yeah. Scott, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course.
So Scott and his wife and I, we were all at WordCamp Phoenix, and it came up over drinks that their son is named Adam also, which I knew.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that he's been reading the series as well, faster than you.
What? And no.
He's 9.
Oh, come on. Why?
So I told Scott that I would give them a shout out. So yeah. So
Does this Adam also have a full-time job and a family to support?
Clearly. I did say that as a case, but I got the eye roll from mom. So he might be done at this point.
Oh, brother. Good job, Adam.
He's probably on book 6. I'm going to say, give him a book ahead of you. So, pretty funny stuff. So
That is great.
I thought so.
I'm loving it. I'm thrilled to finally be reading one that I haven't read before.
See, I only read the first one, and I saw the movies. I should go back. We have them all in hardback.
Yeah, they're really fun. I read the first 4 like 15 years ago, and now finally reading new stuff, and it's much more interesting.
Good. 15 years ago. Yeah. All right. Well, that's awesome. Hey, hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
It's time to spit a rhyme that will blow your mind?
No. It's this time. It's questions time! That's right. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because someone's making fun of me all the time. Are you ready? Am I going to do this? You ready for the questions? You ready? Here we go. You want to ask that first one?
This question comes to us from Joey J from Singapore, a good friend of the show. Mm-hmm. We love Joey J. Joey asks, "Hi, Adam and Kyle. It's Joey from Singapore, back again. Joey, you should send us a voice recording, a voicemail someday, so we can better imitate your voice, unless that is mean. Hi, Adam and Kyle. It's Joey from Singapore, back again. I'm thinking about creating my first ever free WordPress theme. Cool. And have questions on coding ethics. For example, snippets of code to create a responsive mobile menu are freely available on places like tutorial blogs, Stack Overflow, and within free themes. But am I allowed to use those codes as long as I credit the source and make them open source on a platform like GitHub? Or should I ask for an explicit permission from authors? If licensing terms are mentioned, of course I'll follow. But if not mentioned, what's the best way? Thank you in advance for your advice."
Okay, so I have a first stab at this. First of all, I want to say hi to Joey. Great hearing from you again. By the way, I'm really looking forward to meeting him one day. Grab a photo, have a drink, coffee, whatever the beverage of choice is. Because I have a feeling people may not believe us that you are real. Because I don't know. I just have this feeling like Joey in air quotes. You know, I don't know. I believe he's real. I know he's real because we have not made this question. These questions. He's an awesome fan. He listens to the show. He sends in amazing questions. So I'm looking forward to meeting him one day. We'll have to go out there to like Work Camp Singapore.
Right. We'll do a live Get Options at Work Camp Singapore.
It'll be fantastic. Anyway, so I digress. Okay. So option one. I have three options here. I'm gonna give you my first option.
Okay.
Basic American tactic: ask for forgiveness versus permission. It's a very American tactic. Never ask. I mean, it's like the same thing. If my kids knew this tactic, you know, they could get away with a lot more. And I learned inadvertently through my sister 35 years ago. I used to always ask my mom, "Hey, can Kyle come over to play? Can we hang out?" And my mom would say no. Because in her mind, I'm a boy. I have these cousins of mine who are also slobs. And she just clumped me in with teenage and young boys and messy. And she wanted to keep her house pristine and museum-like, which I don't want to get into. My sister figured out really much earlier than I did. My sister would just show up with her friend and say, "Hey, we're home. We're going to go upstairs and do homework or listen to music." And just boom, she's home, take off the shoes downstairs and head to the room, close the door.
I get it.
And because at this point, they're there, you know, they're in the house or walking upstairs. It's just, you know, so permission, I mean, ask for forgiveness, not permission. Okay, that's option one.
Okay.
It works. Yeah. It really does.
You have really good kids. You have really ethical kids.
Well, my kids now, you don't know the half of them. I just had a conversation with them last week. Yeah. No, it's interesting. We played a little tell the truth game, like almost like never have I ever, but not without the never have I ever, not the numbers. And I told my kids, a little digression here. I told my kids, ask me anything, I won't lie. You know, just whatever. I said, I don't lie anymore. So I said, from right this point on, so they asked me questions, I answered it. And then Avalon says, ask me questions. And then Parker said, same thing. So we asked some questions and we got some truths. Wasn't so happy about a few of those truths.
Really?
Really. All three, and Carson. Anyway, I'll stop there. I don't want anyone to think less of my kids, but they are teenagers and they have been unsupervised. At times.
That's so funny.
It really is. It is and it isn't. Anyway, okay. Moving on. Okay. That's my option one. Do you have an option?
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad it contrasts yours. It's like another end of the spectrum.
Good.
Joey, if you want to be an ethical coder, you always need to ask permission. But not just from the person who shared the code. You see,
interesting.
You're going to want to get explicit permission from the person who posted the code, as well as anyone they may have borrowed from or learned from. This includes the authors of any books, blogs, courses, and videos the code author has encountered, including all of their college professors. You'll also need to get explicit permission from all owners of the website on which the code was posted. So if it is a forum like Stack Overflow, everyone at that company must give their consent. Don't forget the author of the question, which was being answered on the forum. Lastly, you'll want to get permission from the author of any functions used in the code.
Wow.
So if this code includes a PHP internal function like file get contents or something, or a WordPress function like get post meta, well, those functions have authors. And you need to track those people down and make sure they're okay with you using them in your project. Only then will you be a truly ethical developer.
Wow. So you're going deep. You're going like, you know, deepest you could possibly go.
Yeah.
Okay. So option two for me is also this is great. This is a good little ping pong tournament. Option two, plagiarize. That's why God gave you eyes. That's how I made it through college, people. No, I'm kidding.
Yes. I wondered.
Yes, do my teeny lunch. Yes. Okay, no, never mind. That's, do you know what that reference is?
No.
It's Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon. Do you know who Johnny Carson is?
What? Do you know who Johnny Carson is?
Do you know my youngest son's name, first name?
Yes.
There you go. That's the connection. Seriously.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My wife, Ellen, may not realize that, but that's why I put it out there. Seriously, I mean, I was a huge fan. So anyway, I was old school. So yeah, so obviously, option two, you can just steal and just walk away from that. Take it and use it, and just done. Okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, I kind of think you're right. I agree with this. This is my message to Joey that if it is freely shared, it can be used. I think it is safe to use.
Okay. Well,
and the code is like music.
Mm-hmm.
And we all borrow from those who came before us.
Standing on the shoulders of giants is what you're trying to say?
In a sense.
Right.
You know, just I'll give an example. I'll give an example. Okay. Okay. You know, so if I were to just, you know, and do something like that, that is, I don't know, just a classic progression of sorts.
Right.
That is used 100,000 times, and I've heard it before. And whether I've heard it once or whether I've heard it 1,000 times, I'm still borrowing it from those who preceded me.
Right.
You know, and I can do like a,
my name is Joey.
You know, and just a, you know, I'm Joey. I want to be an ethical developer, but I borrowed some code, you know, and all that stuff. Every piece of that is just,
there's no new music. There's no new stories, no new movies, that kind of concept.
Yeah, it is along those lines. And I'm borrowing from what I have heard.
Right.
And that has shaped me.
Okay.
So I can make something up, but it's only partially new.
Right.
What's new about it is the way that I'm telling it, the way that I'm expressing it. I'm
right.
putting my spin mm-hmm. on something that I have borrowed and learned from and absorbed over the years.
Right.
And code is very much like that. And, you know, your project in its entirety will be new. There won't be a project like it. Exactly. But just like every song that I write, in its entirety, there will not be a perfect match of anything before. But in pieces, it will be full of things that were borrowed. All the melodies that I use and all the hooks and licks at the end and the chords and mm-hmm. the way that I strum, all of it is a bunch of pieces put together.
That makes it
borrowed
unique.
From the past.
So that leads me to, but then that leads me to my third option, my third and final option, which I think is a nice little bookend and a bow on this. Yes, if you are using something else that is obviously created by somebody else, then give credit where it's due.
I think that's a good practice, really nice thing to do.
Right.
When
because otherwise like, you'll get sued. I mean, literally, people, music things in riffs and beats. I mean, look at the whole story. I think you're old enough to remember Vanilla Ice versus David Bowie. Remember this?
Yeah.
As far as dun 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 dun, right? Under Pressure.
Yeah. And there was a Coldplay versus maybe Joe Satriani?
Yes, I think
too?
So. Yeah. So I just love the quote that Vanilla Ice, he's like, no, mine is this. Mine is dun 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 dun, and theirs is dun 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 dun. Oh my gosh, Ellen and I were, I think, dating at the time, and just that is hilarious to us.
Yeah.
You know, just mm-hmm. they were identical. So obviously there is, in that sense, you know, ownership and creation of something. So if I take something exactly to use it in something else to make money, you have to give credit. You have to give credit and or licensing when it's due. That's mm-hmm. those are laws as well. So
yeah, there are. I think most of what Joey is referring to. Yeah. As are things that are freely shared. So if somebody's creating a blog post or chipping it in a forum and pasting code there, that they are like disclosing it to anyone for any reason. And I think that they have no legal recourse at that point. If you are taking from someone's project, like you did mention, from other free themes. So if you are looking at someone else's theme and borrowing from that, one could argue at that point, maybe probably unsuccessfully, but one could argue that that is like infringing on their rights somehow. But I don't think we're worried so much about the law here, because Joey's asking more about how he can just be ethical,
right.
Not like keep out of trouble. And I think the ethical thing is also the helpful thing. Think about people who might be looking at your code and trying to learn it. If you can reference what inspired you to write the code this way, or where further resources for this type of code can be found in your inline documentation, that can be very mm-hmm. helpful. That's what I tend to do.
Right.
In my experience also, if you're doing things right, like really trying to write your code the best way possible, more often than not, what you find online will be will serve as inspiration. Like when I first started writing code, it was a lot of copy and paste. And I would copy what I found on the web, paste it into my project, see if it worked, try and tweak it until I eventually got it to work. That's what I was doing at the beginning. Later, as I progressed and got better and better, I was finding things on the internet, but just glancing at it, reading it, saying, oh, that's how they did it. And then going back to my project, pasting nothing, but adjusting my approach accordingly. Like, oh, they used this function that I'd never heard of in PHP, or, oh, they structured it this way or that way. Like, oh, that's a good idea. And I'm taking inspiration from them and not actually copying and pasting anything. I think as you mature as a developer, you end up stealing less directly and more like just taking their cues,
right,
following their lead, but doing it still essentially your own way.
Right. Makes sense. Cool. Great question. Good discussion. And now it's time for the next question. I'll ask this one, unless you had anything else. I'm good.
No.
Okay. This one sent in by another fan of the show, Joe Casabona. What's the most rewarding thing about doing a show like yours? I think he's talking... This show or my no, I'm kidding. Obviously, this show.
Yeah. What a sweet question.
Yeah, it is good. So, for me, it's twofold. I really like it when we have what we think is a lighthearted answer, you know, kind of prepped. You know, I mean, I may have prepped an answer, done some research, lighthearted, have fun with it, you know. And then it turns out to be a much deeper conversation starter. I really do like that. That's rewarding to me. That's one side of the coin for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want the other side right now?
Well, I've got a few, so I can take a shot.
Take a shot.
Yeah, I think I'll take a shot. It's very satisfying for my ego to do a show like this. Yeah. Due to the nature of podcasting,
right,
it's always one way.
Yeah.
You listener, hear me, the speaker, and if you don't like what I say or you disagree, I never have to know. I can blissfully go on thinking that I've persuaded everyone and they're all laughing at my jokes. And and life, you know, just goes on. So it's just great for me in that sense.
Okay. On the flip side of my coin, ego notwithstanding, I really enjoy trying to surprise Kyle with an answer and get a solid laugh out of him.
Yeah, that's a fun challenge every week.
Yeah. It's, you know, like literally, I think option one of the first question, you didn't see it coming per se. Not that it was huge, but it was, you know, like it was good, you know. That's always, you know, one of my things. It's like if I can surprise Kyle, good on me, you know.
Right. There's a lot of this show that it's just like just between us, we enjoy it.
Right.
And that challenge of like trying to get at each other a little bit.
Right. I mean, you try to mess me up in the opening every week.
Yeah.
Every week you do something. So anyway, okay.
I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
Okay. I find it satisfying just that process of trying hard to be creative each and every week. Mm-hmm. And this show, I like using it as an opportunity to really push myself. I'm always asking myself, what can I do differently this time? And is this answer actually helpful? And I really love that challenge. And
And I do the opposite. I don't even consider it like, is it helpful? No, I'm kidding. No, it scratches an itch. An itch that I enjoy. It's like I can kind of relax. You know, like just have we banter, we chit chat, we answer questions. Also, the rewarding aspect is when people do. Like I was at Phoenix, and the fact that Scott and his wife listen, and then there's a reference point back to your reading speed,
oh, brother.
The speed of your reading or their lack of, is humor. It's fun to me. You know, I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I do it for the fans. I do it for the fans. All of you people.
Yeah. Oh, man. Really, the fact that people enjoy it is rewarding.
And totally.
For me. That,
yeah.
Kind of, I mean, unexpected. You can hope for that. But still, like, I want to do this for that small but passionate group of people who look forward to seeing us pop up in their queue every week.
Right. And my favorite fan, honestly, you know who my favorite fan is of the show?
Who?
Your dad.
Oh, You're right.
My dad is great.
My dad is great. My dad, like, he does own a small business.
Right.
And he has mentioned repeatedly that, like, sometimes we talk about topics which get him thinking about his business and pricing and his clients and stuff. And we've had a lot of great discussions about business.
We should. I need to get him on the show, surprise you with that, you know, somehow.
Good luck. Okay. Dad does not like, dad does it. I got my addiction to the microphone from somebody else. I didn't get it from Dad.
Okay. Good to know. I will get him. I'll get him. You'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
Well, if we're bringing enjoyment to others, and maybe even sharing some thought-provoking ideas, then I'm super happy. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Joe, for the question.
Yep. Awesome. Now we will shoot and not shoot. We will our next. We have a segment. I don't know what the segue there was. We will segue over to vague rant up. We don't have a bumper there, do we?
Not yet. Let's get on that.
Okay.
Somebody send us a bumper for.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, we should.
Anyway.
Anyway. Okay. So vague rant up. This is where we get to rant about something that's on our mind, and
just get it off our chest.
Get it off our chest. Okay. So yeah. So you want to go first, or should I go first?
Yeah, how about you go first?
Okay, so I kind of have two because, and I prefaced this before we hit record, I wasn't sure if I spoke about this before, and just in case I have a small little backup one, but I'm pretty sure because we couldn't remember. Okay, so people parking on the wrong side of the road or even parking incorrectly in parking lots for that matter. Case in point, I live in a cul-de-sac. So how hard is it to drive all the way down my street, follow the basic rules of the road, turn around properly, you know, kind of pull to the left, and then drive back up to the right side of the street to park in front of the house that you want to go in. And park just normal, like a normal human being. Okay, sure, it's a long street. I get that. You don't want to waste the gas. Ever hear of a three-point turn? I mean, come on, people. It's killing me. It's just killing me. Don't get me started when it's to do with parking lots at the grocery store. Don't take up two spots, number one. Number two, don't park in yellow, red, or blue spots. Oh, it's just so frustrating. I enjoy to no end the videos on YouTube when people trap cars that are parked between spots because they don't want people to touch their doors kind of thing, you know? You'll see like a nice Mercedes, you'll see a nice Beamer, so you get these two trucks that go right up next to it, you know, and mm-hmm. they trap it in. Then the video's hidden, it's like a little hidden camera. My favorite thing ever because it's like karma is right back at them, so.
Yeah.
Okay. And right,
that's pretty satisfying.
Yeah. Okay. So you do yours, and I'll follow with my little secondary one here. Okay.
Sure. Okay. This has been on my mind for a little while.
I'm still upset about it. I'm sorry. Okay, go.
I know. Like you get fired up when we do this. Like, calm down. Just okay. Take a breather. Take a walk. I'm tired of everyone designing T-shirts for every occasion under the sun, but not bothering to even make them any good.
Mm.
What gives, people? Why is this so hard? These days, T-shirts are not special. You have to make them special. Make people actually want to wear them. I have as many or more T-shirts than anyone I know. We're talking in the range of like 70 or so, like right up there in my drawers. Like only maybe Adam has a comparable collection. You know how many of them I actually really like? Like probably five.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And here's the thing. I am not talking about all those T-shirts you get because you volunteered at the local church festival or you marched to end foot fungus or you attended Uncle Morty's surprise 50th birthday party. Like those shirts are always horrible and no one likes them. They always are. The people responsible for the function don't even wear them. I don't have very many of those. That's not what I'm talking about. As I've said, I am talking about shirts for conferences put on by hip, savvy professional designers and shirts for modern, successful brands who employ professional designers and have big budgets. Even they can't seem to put together a shirt I think is worth wearing in public. When I'm actually going out in public, wearing a T-shirt, like walking around town, going to the beach, hopping on stage at a gig, I'm going to gravitate to a shirt that I like. Unfortunately, though, that's a minority of what my wardrobe contains.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bursting at the seams with shirts I'd only wear at home and for dirty painting projects. Doesn't that really defeat the purpose? If you're spending time and money on these shirts just to give them away, don't you want them to be seen? If it is, you better make the shirts kick butt. Here's how. Here's quick rapid-fire tips. One, make them super comfortable. Don't just get the cheapest ones in the catalog. You have options. Explore them. Try out some samples first. Make sure they feel good. Two, make sure you have a variety of sizes and make sure that they fit well so that every different body shape and size can find one that feels right for them. No matter how cool your design is, the wearer needs to look good in the shirt. Get creative with your designs. This is your the third tip. Think outside the box a little bit. You know, the logo on the chest has been done a few times. And four, less is more. You don't have to overdo it. If I feel like everyone will be constantly looking at my shirt or distracted by it, I'm not going to wear it. Try and be subtle. And five, don't blatantly advertise. I'm not going to be your walking billboard. Be cool, and I'll wear your brand. Mm-hmm. That's my tip and rant.
Wow. We should hand out a shirt for Get Options and just have it be called the lame Get Options t-shirt. That's,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Right. It's just uncomfortable. It's really baggy.
It's too small.
Super plain.
Right. Actually, I saw something online recently on social media about the White Album from the Beatles, and they have a commemorative t-shirt. It's just a white shirt. I thought it was pretty funny.
That's the greatest.
That really is. It's just
Hanes.
Hanes white t-shirt. It's the White Album commemorative t-shirt. The Beatles White Album. I thought it was pretty good. All right. Hey, so just in case I had talked about parking, which I wasn't quite sure. I'm pretty sure I didn't. Also, my other rant is I just find it really odd and awkward when you listen to a podcast these days that you really think you know and love, but it changes with like a new host and re-edited intros and bumpers or bumpers that aren't really even there and they're spoken over dubbed and there's a lack of planning and professionalism. And
what?
Ahem, Dustin.
Awkward. It must just be you, because I think most people love that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Slicing together bumpers. No, it was awesome. Yeah, and speaking of which, by the way, just to wrap this up, last week's show that was a surprise to me was awesome. I literally laughed. I mean, it was just funny how it all happened, how I found out about it, but it was very well done. It was funny, and it was good. So thanks, guys, for doing that.
Yeah, I think Dustin put some outtakes at the
end.
He
did. He did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I listened to those too. And my wife did too. Actually, Ellen listened to the opening, which blew her away because she literally said, she was like, well, had they called me, I would have recorded a new one. I'm like, yeah, how would you have done that? She's like, I don't know. On the phone? I'm like, yeah, they couldn't do that. So anyway, so because she does the bumper of the opening. So
we tried all these ideas. That was the first time we've ever done a show without Adam.
Right.
And it was interesting to try and figure out how to do it because you handle all the technical things.
Right.
And you have never, because we've never needed to.
Right.
It's never mattered.
It's never,
you didn't share all the files with me that you use.
Right.
Yeah. And so he cut those out of a previous episode,
right,
and sliced them up and tried to make them work instead of working with what you have.
Right. It was pretty funny. So thanks for surprising me and making me laugh at one of my own shows. Anyway,
right.
On that note, we should take us out.
All right. This has been a fun show. As usual, thank you people for listening. We love you. We love Scott and Scott's wife and Scott's wife's son, Adam, and everybody else who's listening. Please send us your questions. They could be about the Harry Potter series and your favorite characters and favorite spells and anything just about that, or they could relate to WordPress or something. Send them to questions at getoptionspodcast.com. Go to getoptionspodcast.com, leave us a voicemail, or dump something into our question contact form. And just try and challenge us, you know, give us some real stumpers, head scratchers, if you will. That's what I'm looking for.
Right. And real quick, who's the character in Harry Potter? He's a little guy who owes his life to somebody. And then, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Dobby the Elf.
Dobby. Okay, so if you can send in a question using Dobby's voice, that'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Bonus points.
Right.
Bonus options.
I've always liked Dobby. Dobby, yeah. Well, maybe I can do that voice. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe Dobby will open for us next week.
Maybe.
You'll see. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Maybe. All right. So you can find us online, Twitter primarily, at @get_options. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I am over at Hey Adam Silver. We're on SoundCloud at @get_options. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.